tablespoons of cinnamon and two or three egg whites, a half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby. Stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour. You'll be in heaven soon. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls. Quarter cup of unsweetened chocolate and a half a cup of brandy. And throw in a bag or two of sugar and just a pinch of vanilla. Read up the cookie sheet, 'cause I hate when my balls stick. Then preheat your oven to 350 and give the spoon a lick. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick me up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of goodness, high in fiber. Suck on my balls. Hey, wait a minute. What's that smell? It smells like something burning. Well, that don't confront me none. Long as I get my rent paid on Friday. Baby, you better get back in the kitchen. 'Cause I got a sneaking suspicion. Oh, man, baby. Baby, you just burned my balls. Come on, my balls on fire. Come on, baby. Balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them. They're on fire, baby. Suck all my chocolate salted balls. Put them out, baby. Blow them. Oh. Suck all my balls, baby. Suck all my balls, baby. Suck all my red hot salted balls. Come on, baby.
KCMD AM Portland. The all new Johnson 970. All comedy radio. Scrub that out with wire wool. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to talk to Mike Skolnick from the Faux Film Festival. It starts tonight at the Hollywood Theater, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. at the shows, and it runs all the way through the weekend. And it's pretty great. It's actually the only film festival of its kind. They do. It's just all mockumentaries and faux shorts and satires and parodies, so you should definitely check it out. It is 503-733-2970. What else are we going to get? What else do I have to get through this hour? I have to get to this Whitney Houston thing because it's too good not to get to. So we'll do the Whitney Houston thing. I'll get to that. I've got this story about Santa Miller and a horse. Try to get to that. What else? I've done all the fetus news for the day. And we'll also have this worst song you've ever heard. It's a brand new edition. It's a new rendition of an old favorite. I'll try to get to that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior. At the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. The idea of becoming a mother is proving to be irresistible for Jessica Simpson. Reps for the soon-to-be divorcee confirm that the 25-year-old has babies on the brain and is both looking into the adoption process and mulling plans to fund her own orphanage. Jessica and her family have anonymously contributed money to Mexican orphanages for several years. It is true that Jessica is exploring options.
I'm sorry? They've been anonymously contributing money to what?
Mexican orphanages.
Well, okay, whatever.
For several years.
Because she has babies on the brain?
I guess so. I want to adopt, and I plan to adopt before I have my own kids, she told Extra. The former newlywed star also said the syndicated show that she draws inspiration from makes it even want to become another mother. I think Angelina Jolie has done amazing, amazing things, and the international adoption rate just since her has skyrocketed.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
It is interesting about these celebrities that celebrities like Angelina Jolie and Jessica Simpson can even make me hate things that I don't hate, like adoption, which I think everybody knows adoption is fine. It's fantastic. You know, it's better than Xeroxing yourself and making stupid little copies of yourself.
Joan Crawford made it famous.
Yes. Yes. Boy, let me tell you, I watched Mommy Dearest for the first time in a long time a few weeks ago. Boy, that's just the most shriekingly intense, hilarious film. But her and those bad painted on eyebrows. Who told her that was a good idea? But it's like even things that I like adoption. I'm all for adoption. As soon as Jessica Simpson starts talking about wanting to adopt, I suddenly despise it. I hate it. All right.
Well, Simpson began visiting Mexican orphanages with a Texas church group when she was just 11 years old. And as a legend goes, she asked her parents if she could adopt a child while still in high school.
No, you have to
needless
wait.
To say, Papa Joe nixed that idea.
No, you have to wait until you're 14 and on welfare before you can adopt. Rick, this email says, let me detangle the string ball. What?
What? Take two. Isn't that Rick, something a Rick, cat would do?
Rick, let me detangle the string ball that you and your merry men and women made of the, quote, Mexican story, end quote. Oh, that's this soundbite. Hold on. Let me go back. He's talking about this soundbite here.
No, Gusta. We don't like what the businessmen do to us.
All right. We've had about 14 different explications of what it is he said there. This guy says, A, the gentleman was referring to is really... Okay, this is written badly. First of all, anybody who's going to call in and email in and try to correct us on a language story should have, like, a passing
this
familiarity.
This comes from the Los Angeles Public School District.
The gentleman is referring to, really, the Minutemen, whatever, which are a bunch of right-wing, Lars-loving nutcases that have had too much freeze-dried food and unused generators left over from Y2K. Since they're not employable in the real world, they all migrated to our border areas to protect us from the hordes of Mexicans. Oh, so the Minutemen is like a militia.
Yeah, it's a militia.
B, the gentleman you are playing a soundbite of is definitely not Roy Romer. That's who, isn't that what you said, is
yeah.
Roy Romer?
No, Gusta. We don't like what the businessmen do to us.
Roy Romer is the former governor of Colorado who agreed to take on the job of turning around the L.A. school system. Unless the people of Colorado are even nuttier than I think they are, I don't think they'd elect someone governor with only a wisp of English-speaking ability. So again, this right here is...
No, Gusta. We don't like what the businessmen
probably
do
not
to
the
us.
Governor of Colorado. There you go.
Or the governor of California.
CBS Radio regressed the air. It's 503-733.
Yes, we're very, very sorry.
2970, here's at Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, record bosses are erasing any evidence that the Beatles smoked from the cover of an album re-release. EMI is shipping a new version of the LP Capitol Albums Volume 2, but there will be a distinct difference on the cover. When John, Paul, and Ringo were seen puffing away on the evil weed on the original 1964 version...
I'm sorry, what album are we talking about?
This is the Capitol Albums Volume 2.
All right, and so this is... What, they're smoking weed?
No, they're smoking cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
And now they've erased it, apparently.
What? Uh-huh. Start from the... I was not really listening. Somebody sent me
okay,
something.
Okay, they
I
were
got an email with fetus in the title. And
they
so
were smoking cigarettes on this original album cover issued in 1964, and all now right. They have airbrushed the cigarettes from their fingers.
Oh, what is that about?
The band was all big smokers, with John still smoking when he was shot dead in 1980. Paul was believed to have quit in the 1980s, but his wife Heather recently revealed he is still smoking marijuana until his former wife Linda McCartney died in 1998. She said, "I wouldn't have married him if he was taking drugs."
Well, this is like that that idiot, you know, and I'm not a smoker. We're all anti-smoking on this show, except for Sarah, who claims to be anti-smoking, and yet is lighting up every time I see her.
It's a social thing with kids these days.
Yeah, but, you know, here, look, and I know this sounds like a punchline, and I'm trying not to make it sound that way, but Sarah has this whole thing of only smoking when she drinks. See, you gotta know about Sarah and drinking.
It's a Lauren Bacall type of thing.
Sarah enjoys alcohol. In many forms, at many different times during the day.
Socially.
Yes. So Sarah smokes. She's trying to quit. She doesn't want to do it. Because she knows, look, you're not going to keep that TV face. You keep smoking. You're going to look like a dried pork product. And you don't want that. So she's trying to quit. But all the anti-smoking nutcases, they got this whole thing. It's like Robert Johnson, one of the, influential and, you know, legendary blues artist, blah, blah, blah. So he posed, there were only two known photographs of Robert Johnson. Both, one of him in a pinstripe suit and one of him just in a white shirt, both holding a guitar. But this very famous photo of Robert Johnson, again, one of only two, he's wearing this shirt and he's got the guitar and he's got this cigarette dangling. And look, here's the thing. What no one will ever admit, but which we all know is true, is that smoking looks cool. Right? Kids, don't let them tell you that smoking doesn't look cool. Smoking looks damn cool. When you smoke, you look cool. Rick Emerson said that. Now, the coolness is mitigated by the fact that it kills you, and it's addictive, and it's expensive, and your taste buds stop working, and you can't make your penis operate correctly anymore, and also it gives you heart disease, and you can't stop doing it, and it's going to kill you, and you're going to spend the last 15 years going through a tube somewhere, living inside an iron lung, and plus, as I constantly note, these kids today, I can't believe I just said that unironically, kids, they think that, you know, you think smoking's a rebellious act. Smoking is like the least rebellious thing you could possibly do. Because when you smoke, pay attention now, kids, Rick is a role model. When you smoke, you are giving money to the man three different times. When you buy it, you're giving the man, your tax money. And then, you know, you're giving money to old white guys who run, tobacco farms and cigarette corporations. And then, of course, you got to give money to the man when you end up in a hospital and your insurance company's jacking you because they got to take out a lung. So when you realize that when you smoke, you are giving your money to the man, not once, not twice, but thrice. You are giving money to fat old white guys. And so that's really the ad campaign they should use. They want to get kids not to smoke. They should just put a picture of some fat old white Mormon-looking guy, like an Orrin Hatch guy, Bill Bennett, and just say, when you smoke, like, you give money to old white men. That would work. No one ever listens to me, though. I give these brilliant ideas, everybody just sort of guffaws. What was my point? Oh,
yes.
But so with Robert Johnson, the fantastic photo of him, but it looks cool. He's got the cigarette hanging out. They put him on a stamp for Black History Month. Bam, out goes the cigarette. It's an abomination. It's of irreducible proportions.
Did they make the stamp smaller?
No, they... What? No.
Oh.
Let's move on.
Well, this is a story about words we can't print or speak of. You've probably heard these words often, and more often than before. Nearly three-quarters of Americans questioned last week, 74%, say they encounter profanity in public frequently or occasionally, according to this new Ipsos poll. Who's this Ipsos fellow? Two-thirds say they think people swear more than they did 20 years ago when people were honest. And, the gold standard for foul words, a healthy 64% said they heard the F word, ranging from several times a day, 8%, to a few times a year, 15%.
Who takes the time to conduct such a study? When is the last time you heard the F word? Like we're
Irving
all 12.
Irving Ipsos, who does the Ipsos poll.
Like we're all living in Stepford. All right, let's see. Well, let's
do something else.
218. I'm trying to figure. Here's what I've got to do still.
Yes.
I gotta do. I'm so behind. And I know that I say that every day, but come on, it's crazy today. It's all the fetus's fault. You can blame the fetuses for all of this. I gotta do this Whitney Houston news. I've got this worst song you've ever heard. And then we've got Michael Skolnick from the Faux Film Festival. And then I also got to talk about the city versus suburbs thing. So, Kirk, let's break here. The break must be taken here and no further.
Or somebody will be left sitting in the green room till the next show.
Yes, yes.
Or be asked to come back another time.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to bump Semisonic today. They'll be on another time. We'll break here. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733. 2970. When we come back, it's the best Whitney Houston story you've ever heard in your life, and I know that that's a bold statement, but I'm going to back it up. Also, we've got this. Armless man caught speeding in car. Plus, we'll talk to Mike Skolnick from the Faux Film Festival, and we'll play the worst song you've ever heard. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733. Is this show just zipping by today, or is it just me?
No, the show is zipping by today.
And all of this crap. Not crap. All of this fine news. All of this magnificent content. Coming up at 3, like us. And, of course, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Did you watch... Anybody watch Hendry's show last night, Teachers?
Oh, darn, no, I didn't.
Man, Carlin just buried it. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian Man, he buried it and spat on it. So, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? All right. Let's see. Tainted water. I like any story that's got tainted in it. Let me see. Where's my Whitney Houston news? We'll do the... here we go. It's like 4 pages long, too. I got this thing about Whitney Houston, and I got this thing about...
fascinating.
I got this thing about Sienna Miller being caught with a horse. I swear to God, that's what it says. It's right here. We'll do that, and then we got the Mike Skolnick from the Faux Film. You know, that is just... That's a thing I'm having trouble with today. Faux Film Festival. Do you ever get little hints sometimes? You get a little foreshadowing of what you're going to be like when your brain starts to decay at like 80? Or as soon as you get Alzheimer's, like you know, it's funny, Lara, she works with the Alzheimer dementia people sometimes, and she says it really is unnerving because it's like all the dementia Alzheimer's people, they all pick some random point in their past to fixate on, and that's what they when they go crazy, that's what it is. So, you can totally get a glimpse sometime of what you're going to be like when you're a crazy old person. All right. So we've got to do that later on. Mike Skolnick from the Faux Film Festival. We got to talk a little bit more about Sport Fight. And then we got to do this Whitney Houston thing. We may or may not have time for the worst song you've ever heard. Before we do anything else, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. Yes.
Sure. There we go. From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Very important news because this is a 2-for-Tuesday. Oh, it's Wednesday, I'm sorry. Because we missed the 2-for-Tuesday. We're going to do the two Britney
stories. It's a one more Wednesday.
We're going to do two Britney stories. Here's the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Wednesday right here on the Rick Emerson Show. I think it's Britney Open. Right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe the pot's not up.
Should I just sing it?
That's her. Right.
Oh, wait. There we go. Thank you. Kirk Myers running the board in the stead of Sarah Dillon here. No, you're doing a good, better job than I could do.
This is a baptism by fire.
It really is. This is. You can run this show. You can run anything, my friend. All right. Here's your Britney watch.
Well, Britney will be giving birth again soon in Brooklyn as a sexy sculpture has drawn thousands of hate emails.
Oh, I've heard about this. Is that sculpture of her? Okay, I don't know if you all have seen this. It's a sculpture. It's a statue of Britney, nude,
yep,
on all fours.
Mm-hmm.
How do they say that anymore? Presenting her rump.
Mm-hmm.
Not per rump. Presenting her rump. And there's no easy way to say this. Pushing out a baby.
Yeah.
And that's not code for something. I mean, actually pushing out a baby. Mm-hmm.
This is a new take on pro-life. Pro-lifers normally promote body images of abortion, but this is the image of birth, says Daniel Edwards, mm-hmm, and his work to be unveiled at a Brooklyn gallery in April.
It really is an unnerving statue, if you all have seen it. Just go on through Yahoo News or Google or anywhere. Not only is it a statue of Britney, not only is she nude, not only is she on all fours, and I know that all of this sounds sexy. It all sounds like a thing you'd want to see. Believe me now when I say that that's not the case. Not only is she pushing out a baby, she also in the statue is, for reasons unknown to me, doing so on a bearskin rug. And so the whole thing is just creepy and wrong. And it one of those things that your brain can't quite process.
Well, while some bloggers heard about the exhibit, Monuments to Pro-Life, the Birth of Sean Preston, the gallery was inundated with about 3,000 emails from around the world in just a week, split between pro-choice and pro-life options. We also got calls from Tokyo, England, and France. Some people are upset Britney is being used for the subject matter, says gallery co-owner David Kessling. Others who are pro-life on it was, well, degrading to their movement. Some other pro-choice people are upset at this pro-life monument.
Aren't they always? Nothing you can do with those people.
Part d'oeuvre. Federline is moving songs from the labs to clumps for testing. Mr. Spears picks a hot title for his debut album and plans a promo tour with new tunes. Well, if you don't want to get burned when picking up Kevin Federline's debut album, you better be careful. Mr. Spears is playing with fire. That's right. K-Fed finally figured out the disc title, which he calls self-explanatory. My album is sure to get the dance floors across the world on fire. He said in the statement.
Said a spokesperson. Said some guy that he's never met. Like, that guy's capable of putting out a three-syllable press release.
And to help nudge it along, Federline's planning a promotional club tour.
Which I will completely go to. I will absolutely, I'm telling you right now, I could lie, I could try to be all cooler in the room and say that I'm not going to go. You know that if Kevin Federline comes to, like, the Roseland, you know that your ass is going to go see it. For exactly the same reason that Sarah went to see Ashley Simpson. I will go.
Well, the dates for the promo tour are still in the works, but Federline's hoping to hit markets such as New York, Los Angeles, and Vegas. While in each of those cities, K-Fed plans to do a few good deeds as well.
Good deeds involve cutting out his own tongue.
I don't know. According to his rep, he's going to pick something different for each city depending on local needs.
Lucky
from
us.
Handing out toys to children's hospitals to helping out hurricane victims.
I can feel the bile rising in the back of my throat.
Apparently, his urge to help out started when he devoted his hair to cancer patients through Locks of Love 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, there you go.
Meanwhile, he's still trying to determine which song he'll shoot a video for, since he's got more more current single than his first song, Papa Zoo.
It's one of those things that happened while we were off the air that we didn't really get a chance to wallow in, which is that it's a horrible, horrible song. And all the cliches are present here. He's talking about taking it to the clubs. He's talking about getting the dance floor popping. All that's missing is that, like, you know, he's taken it to the streets and that this is, like, this is the hardest, heaviest album he's ever done. It's like, that's the only cliche that's not present in the story.
El debut's album at a Mexican orphanage.
There you go. There's your Britney watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. I've got to get rid of this song. Please, someone, I beg of you. I'm too lazy to do it myself. Please, someone do another Britney watch thing. All right, so we got to do this Whitney story.
Yes. So long-awaited Britney story.
We'll do this Whitney Houston story here, and I don't think we'll have time to talk about Sienna Miller and a horse. But really, what else do you need to know? I mean, that is sort of the story that kind of explains itself. And then we'll break after this, and then we'll have Mike Skolnick from the Faux Film Festival on. All right. So this we were talking about this earlier. Here's the great thing about the internet, apart from porn and everything, is that you have access to, like, the Sun, you have access to the Mirror, the Times, all of these British newspapers. They don't have any of those pesky standards that American newspapers have.
Like truth.
I mean, that's, and taste, and common decency, respect for fellow human beings. All of these things,
you
know, all these things are in apps. It's like one big blog over there. Everything is just written by some sort of defamer blog entry. So this is from the Sun. It's just fantastic. And it just, I don't have it on my website. You'll just have to go there. It's the Sun, T-H-E-S-E-N, thesun.co.uk, thesun.co.uk. And I think it's the front page story. And it's where they can just, they have this picture of Whitney Houston where, do you remember Scatman Crothers? Scatman Crothers was the guy, he was the voice of Hong Kong Fu. He was the groundskeeper in The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
He was the old man that showed, you got The Shining. Him. Now, imagine Scatman Crothers in a wig wrapped in a stole. That's really what Whitney Houston looks like at this point. She doesn't even look like a woman anymore. She looks like a big black man. Who's been on some sort of a forced liquid diet for about 6 months.
In drag.
And then was shoved into a fur coat. She really looks like the worst drag queen. Like the most low-rent drag queen you've ever seen in your life. Not really able to work even a day shift at their cells. Just sort of standing outside rattling a cup.
She's like a combination of Whoopi Goldberg and Don Imus.
Yes.
All rolled into one.
That's an image that'll never leave me. And then the caption, of course, is just, listen to this. This is how you know it's not an American paper. Here's this horrible picture of Whitney Houston. I keep wanting to call her Whitney Spears. Whitney Houston. And then the caption is just, the caption from the Sun is just, pitiful, haggard singer. They don't screw around. They bottom line it for you. This is like a 9-page story. Superstar Whitney Houston is spiraled into a world of squalor and degradation on deadly crack, as the shocking pictures in today's Sun newspaper reveal. It shows the disgusting mess in his singer's bathroom after a drug binge. Now, I haven't seen this. Supposedly, there is a picture somewhere out there of Whitney Houston's bathroom just filled with drug paraphernalia. Yeah. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Was it disgusting?
It really is.
It really is hideous. Drug paraphernalia, including a crack-smoking pipe, rolling papers, cocaine-caked spoons. I see she hasn't got to the point yet where she's licking the spoon. And cigarette ends are strewed across the surface tops. But Whitney, age 42? 42? Oh, honey. No longer cares. She was one of the biggest female artists of her generation, with a string of 80s and 90s hit singles like I Want to Dance with Somebody and more than 100 million albums sold. Now she is a paranoid wreck, hopelessly hooked on crack.
I want to die with somebody.
She is haggard, with dark circles under her eyes and a deranged look on her face. She regularly disappears for days and weeks at a time, holed up in seedy crack dens in dangerous parts of town. The best thing is, this story is going to end so badly, unless you're us, in which case it's going to end fantastically. All the elements are here just for the, you know, a whole, like, weeks and weeks and weeks of upcoming Whitney news. She has blown much of her multi-million pound showbiz fortune on her habit. Now her family and friends fear the addiction will end in her death. I thought she was already dead several times. Every time, like, I would log onto the news, and it's like, and you would see that headline on Yahoo, Whitney Houston, and I'm like, dead. And she always surprised me. The bathroom photo was taken by her sister-in-law, Tina Brown. Tina Brown? That's not Tina Brown from Talk Magazine, is it?
Or is it James Brown's sister?
I don't know. It's because all famous black people are related. There can be only one black celebrity with the name of Brown. Oh, no, that's Bobby Brown. Hello, that's Bobby Brown's sister.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was awkward just now.
Yeah.
And James Brown and Bobby Brown are probably not related. I don't know, but...
We don't know that.
Moving on. Taken at the 5-bedroom mansion the star shares with drug-abusing hubby Bobby Brown in Atlanta, Georgia. Tina, sister of Bobby... Is herself a self-confessed former addict who regularly took crack with mum of one, Whitney. She is now clean, but she said, quote, the truth needs to come out. Whitney won't stay off the drugs. It's every single day. It's so ugly. Everyone is so scared she's going to overdose, except for us. In a shocking interview, the mother of six told how Whitney spends days locked in her bedroom sitting amid piles of rubbish.
Did the mailman come yet?
Did my check in? I can't go anywhere without my check.
I can't find the remote control.
Jesus God. There, amid piles of rubbish... Boy, anytime a story just has the phrase amid piles of rubbish. But wait, the woman who co-starred in the 1992 hit movie The Bodyguard smokes crack, uses sex toys to satisfy herself, and ignores personal hygiene. Kids, don't do crack.
You know, she's going to be that woman... Remember when they moved the couch and that woman was stuck inside of it? It's going to happen again.
No, but it gets better. I swear to God, it gets better. Let me just recap there.
All right.
God, I swear to God, I'm not making any of this up. This is right out of the Sun.
So it has to be true.
So it has to be true? Oh, come on. Do you doubt it for a second?
Oh.
Seriously, if you're driving a car right now, if you're operating heavy machinery, I would just stop for a second.
Pull over.
The woman who co-starred with Kevin Costner, and now sits amid piles of rubbish, smokes crack, uses sex toys to satisfy herself, and ignores personal hygiene. When high on drugs, Whitney imagines she sees demons and is being beaten savagely by them. The sad truth is that she bites and punches her own body without realizing it. Millions of fans will find it hard to believe that this was once the wholesome girl admired for her stunning looks and amazing voice. Tragically, drug-crazed Whitney has refused all offers. He's going to help get clean his failed spells in rehab. Tina, 42, says, she'll point to the floor and say, see that demon? I'm telling you, somebody's messing with Bobby. She thinks it's something with Bobby, but it's her hitting herself like it's not possible that it's also Bobby hitting her. That's, of course, completely, that's out of the realm of possibility. Bobby Brown has taken a tire iron to her. In her paranoia, Whitney made a hole in the bathroom wall so she could see who was in the house. She breaks everything, mirrors, phones, cabinets, appliances. She revealed Whitney's 13-year-old daughter, Bobby Christina, that girl's going to turn out well, was often frightened. Tina also claimed Whitney was so wasted on drugs that she wet herself and then walked around the house wearing, quote, a baby's nappy. Once Whitney smoked crack on the way to a rehab clinic. Whitney allegedly calls a stream of dealers to her house and buys 8 balls of crack, that's eighth of an ounce rocks. Users usually break up an 8 ball into smaller pieces. But Tina said that Whitney cuts open a cigar, puts an entire 8 ball inside it with marijuana, and smokes it. Whitney was, this just keeps getting better. Whitney was also rushed to the hospital in 2003. Here's a phrase, with blood gushing from her face, and emerged with a bizarre bandage covering much of her head. A source said, everyone wondered what happened to Whitney's nose. I gotta stop. Oh my God.
That was a good story and well worth waiting for.
Okay, the phrase of the day is, sits amid piles of rubbish, uses sex toys to satisfy herself, and ignores personal hygiene. Oh God, let's break, Eric.
Break here.
There really is nowhere to go after that. We peaked. Oh, boy, howdy. I like how they immediately rule out that Bobby Brown could be hitting her, too. That's not possible. It's got to be...
He doesn't even appear in the story.
It's got to be an imaginary demon. Let me ask you, what do you think is more likely? Bobby, if you were living with Bobby Brown and you woke up bruised, would you immediately think imaginary demon? All right, we'll be back after this with Mike Skolnick from the Faux Film Festival. Like us at 3, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Here's Veruca Salt. We're back after this. All right, so Rick Emerson Show. I'll put these on my site later, but I've got more photos of Whitney Houston. She really looks like she's been picking at herself with some sort of sharp object. You know, like she had a bit of an itch, and she decided that like an awl was the best way to get rid of that. Oh, here's a picture of the bathroom. That's no good. Big empty cans of Budweiser and cake spoons all over the bathroom.
Well, I think she needs a longer vanity. I think that's what the problem is. Like the his and hers type of thing? Because all it is a hers, and it just isn't big enough.
It's just not enough room.
It doesn't suit her needs.
Oh, God damn. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Like us at the 3, world famous Phil Hendry Show. You did this whole time, like last month, 2 months ago, this whole time, you'd have to be listening to Lars. Think he's going to make jokes about that? No, I don't think so.
I'll spill 50, 30 cents.
Okay. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Speaking of the Faux Film Festival we've been talking about, and we've been giving away tickets to that, and it starts tonight at the Hollywood Theater, which is a fantastic place anyway. The you know, I'm never going to get that right. Mike, how are you, sir?
Hey, Rick, I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Mike Skolnick for the Faux Film Festival. I'm just going to have you say that from now on.
Film Festival.
See, you can do it. Why can't? It's like that part of my brain is missing. I don't know what it is. It starts tonight, and it goes through Sunday or Monday.
Sunday.
And 7 to 9 p.m., and it is the only film festival like this in the world. We've been talking about the Hollywood, first of all, is a great place to see movies. I love that place.
Yes.
And it is faux trailers, fake commercials, fake PSAs, satires, video parody. Tell us a little bit about this Faux Film Festival and what people can expect when they go there, because I know a bunch of people I know who are in the film community who are all cranked up about waiting to go. So.
Yeah, well, as you said, it's all spoofs, satire, mockumentaries. Each night is different. There's two sets each night, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And they're both different, and both are included for one low entry fee of only $6.
Fantastic.
And so I recommend folks check the faufilm.com website. That's F-A-U-X film.com.
Yeah, don't listen to my horrific pronunciation, because you'll never be able to find it. Never be able to find it. So what are some of the, have you seen the stuff that's playing, and what are some of the things that are going to be playing in the festival?
Well, I've seen it all. And I've seen all the stuff that's not playing, too.
Oh, see, why do you got to dangle that? You can't say that.
So I'm only showing the good stuff.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the stuff like Too Hot for Faux Film or something.
No,
okay.
No.
All right.
No, I mean, we go through a lot of submissions. We have a committee that meets and reviews all the films. I actually pre-screen the films before the committee, so the really, really awful ones, they don't have to see.
Oh, excellent. So you sort of view the crap so we don't have to.
Yeah.
Excellent. So if people want to find out, if they want to get tickets to this, they want to find out more about it, is it faufilmfestival.com?
Yeah, actually, either one, Faux Film Festival or just faufilm.com also works.
Faufilm.com. Where is this based? Is this based in Portland, or is this based elsewhere and it kind of comes around?
No, this is a Portland original.
So the films you're going to be showing, are most of them from this area? Are they from elsewhere? Where do you get the films from?
No, actually, films are from all over the world. In fact, tonight there's at the 9 o'clock show is a feature from New Zealand.
Fantastic. And we have peeps in New Zealand at New... Lost the ability to speak. It's all the crack. The New Zealand. So this is going to be tonight at 7 and 9, and then is it this weekend, is it three sets on this weekend?
On Sunday is basically horror day.
Okay.
And there are three sets. There are two horror features, including one with live additional dialogue by a improv comedy troupe known as Funny Business.
Excellent. And so this is going to be going, and it's going to go all the way through. Tickets are $6. There's two shows tonight and then three sets on Sunday.
Yeah.
And
three sets are $6 on Sunday.
And it's going to be, and I've talked to my friend Aaron, who's a filmmaker, and I know a lot of people who make films in the Portland area. They said it's a great thing. And again, we like to support the Hollywood Theater. We like to support local film. We're big fans of kind of keeping those dollars sort of in the community. So if people want more information, again, it's faufilm, FAUXFILM.com.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right, my friend. Michael Skolnick from the Faux Film Festival, starting tonight at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater.
All right, thanks, Rick.
All right, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. There you go. We've been giving tickets away for that. And, in fact, we will be giving away two more pair here before we hit the top of the hour. Let's see. All right, we've got this email about them. This email about Whitney Houston. I don't even know that I have time to read any of this. Rick, I had an odd thought. What if those pictures of Whitney's bathroom crack jungle are a way for her to buy more crack? Come on, like Bobby Brown's sister is a former addict. The crack trio ran out of money, so they sold their pics for millions. It's brilliant. That actually never even occurred to me. But, you know, they have such low journalistic standards in Britain, it wouldn't surprise me. Rick, about sports fight. They should get Steve from Vancouver in the ring and have one of your faithful listeners beat the crap out of him. Nah, I can't. Steve from New Zealand. How would people in New Zealand even be hearing the show, Tim Riley, newsman?
I don't know.
All right.
Well, but I know that some of our listeners in New Zealand used to live here.
All right. So they...
And then they...
They spread out.
Yeah. They got government jobs down there.
All right. We got one more break to do, right? All right, so when we take a break, we'll come back and we'll wrap it up. But real quickly, again, go to faufilm, F-A-U-X-F-I-L-M, faufilm.com. Find out about the Faux Film Festival. And you know what? We're going to take callers 9 and 10 right here. Callers 9 and 10, you will win a pair of passes. If you're a caller 9, you win a pair. If you're a caller 10, you win a pair. Two pairs of passes, callers 9 and 10, respectively, for the Faux Film Festival opening night tonight. Callers number 9 and 10 at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back to wrap it up after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Make a miracle. Pump the lyrical. Black is back. All in. We're going to win. Check it out. Yeah, yo. Oh, that's technology we don't have yet. Oh. All right. Hi there. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We appreciate your radio patronage. We'll be back in 21 hours. Tomorrow, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine will be here. And tomorrow we'll get to that new installment of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. To be fair, in our own defense, as far behind as we got almost immediately on this show, We still got to a damn lot. I got to that whole, that's like a six-page Whitney Houston story. I got to the whole thing. Also, tomorrow we'll talk about Sienna Miller being caught with a horse. I swear to God, I wish I was making that up.
Was she riding the horse?
Well, let me just read it now. A video showing actress Sienna Miller cavorting naked with a horse. God damn. Why did I read that? This
you,
is
you
what
must
it
continue
says.
Now.
This is what it says. This is from some website somewhere. The a video. I'm reading this.
Is this from the Sun?
I don't.
The same reporter who covered the Whitney story stopped by on her way home.
I don't take responsibility for anything. A video showing actress Sienna Miller cavorting naked. Oh, I'm sorry, cavorting naked with another woman and a horse. As that makes it okay. As because now it's sexy. Has appeared on the internet. The footage was reportedly shot behind the scenes at the 2003 Pirelli Calendar School Jude Law. I don't understand this. Shot behind the scenes at a 2003 Pirelli calendar shoot. Ah, period. Jude Law's former fiance took part in before she found fame. I don't understand.
Is this one of those Russian translated stories that's missing half the verbs?
The punctuation here seems to be a little arbitrary. Let's move on. Hey, don't forget. So tomorrow we're going to talk more about Sport Fight 15, which is happening at the Rose Garden next Saturday. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to go to Johnson970.com, like right now. Right now. And if you know a guy who likes to punch things, have him go there right now. Sport Fight 15, they are doing a special amateur bout that night. And again, this is not going to be outside. It's not going to be some other place. This is going to be that night, Sport Fight, in front of thousands of people. They're going to be doing a special bout, city versus suburbs. And so they have asked us to recruit from our listening base, to help recruit from our listening base, a listener to represent the city and a listener to represent the suburbs. And you will then fight it out at Sport Fight 15. Sport Fight 15 is going to be doing that, the city versus suburbs match. So you want to find out more, go to Johnson970.com right now. Johnson970.com. All right. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy for being here today, and we also want to thank Michael Skolnick of the Faux Film Festival for being here today. We also want to thank our good friend Kirk Myers for stepping in today and helping with the production of the show. Sarah X. Dillon had to step out for a bit about halfway through. The Rick Emerson Show is typically produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon for Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. News director Tim Riley. Like us coming up at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We're back in 21 hours. As always, my friends, do not let the bastards grind you down. And thank you for listening. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Be safe. Bye.